Andy with her elementary school teacher.
The teacher was, one of many who didn't see my identity as something that was healthy or normal or good for the educational environment. And so she and all of my elementary school teachers just disrespected and ignored it.
That's part of the inspiration behind her bringing together students from around the country this summer for the Trans Youth Leadership Summit. She sees what's missing within school districts, including LAUSD, where she believes leadership has the best intentions.
LAUSD has a very comprehensive and helpful policy for trans students. It's been around for about a decade or so without any issues whatsoever. And I think it does provide a very good model for the rest of the country for protecting trans students.
But she says that's not enough.
Being so involved with policy, I do have to be somewhat critical of how the policy itself manifests, in that it won't actually protect the trans students. It just sets out guidelines. But very often we see teachers, faculty, and staff of different institutions from K-12 or college just ignoring these policies or bylaws and refusing to let trans students access programs and facilities with their own gender.
The LA School District's Judy Chasen acknowledges that while the district has been ahead of the curve, slow adapters to its policies can slow progress. But she says the district is committed to putting out the welcome mat for all students.
I'm not going to be naive and say that there was that everybody 100% of every staff and every community member was enthusiastic about these policies. But I think that when you have the top leadership of the school district making an affirmative message, that you are setting the tone. And I believe at the bottom line is that we need to be evaluated by who we bring in, not who we keep out.
The time is 7:01. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is Calculated Conversations.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Inner City Blues Festival on Saturday, April 21st from 5:30 to midnight at the North Portland Eagles Lodge in Portland. For the past 7 years, the Inner City Blues Festival has focused on healing the healthcare blues, supporting Oregon's universal healthcare movement. Performers this year include the Norman Sylvester Review with Sarah Billings and Leanne Miller, the King Louis Payne Quartet and LaRonda Steele, and many, many more. Again, that's the Inner City Blues Festival on Saturday, April 21st from 5:30 to midnight at the North Portland Eagles Lodge, 7611 North Exeter Avenue at Lombard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland Grand Tasting on Thursday, April 12th at 6 p.m. at the Left Bank Annex in Portland. The Portland Grand Tasting features award-winning wines from over 20 wineries based in the Columbia Gorge. The evening includes tastings, light hors d'oeuvres, and a commemorative wine glass. Again, that's Portland Grand Tasting on Thursday, April 12th at 6 p.m. at the Left Bank Annex, 101 North Weidler Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Spread yourself. Welcome back, welcome back. You got a calculated conversation show starting from 7 to 8. You got David Jefferson, your host, your co-host, Ken Jones.
Yeah.
What's up, Ken?
Not too much. What's going on with you, brother?
Man, just keeping the energy consistent, you know, letting it tell me what to do, man, and not questioning. It told me to come in today, so I said, all right.
You said, show
I had other stuff to do.
How was your week?
Oh, it was good, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot of good things, man. Like, you know, just mainly control of, you know, my mindset. Things ain't never perfect, you know, but my goal has never been to be perfect. It's always been to understand imperfection. So I can capitalize off it from the reverse end, you know what I'm saying, and make mistakes and still grow. You know what I'm saying? So that happened about every week, man. So, Yeah. So I'll be excited to, man, head out to Arizona in a couple next weekend.
Oh, yeah? What you got going out there?
Man, nothing. Just kind of going out there to soak up some energy.
Let me find out. Okay, yeah. Catching flies.
Yeah, every now and again. every now and again, the energy say, man, you know, just going to do it.
That's dope.
And so I just don't question it.
You got some people down there?
Yeah, I know some people. It's a lot of Portland people down there, too. So, yeah, I'm excited to, you know, check out a couple palm trees, man, and a little bit of sun.
Nice little oasis.
I heard it's 90, man. So I'm going to have my Crocodile Hunter shorts on this time.
90?
Yeah.
And that's that retarded heat. Like, that's that like, scorcher. Ain't Arizona, don't they got to have, like, I feel like Vegas, where you got to have the AC in everywhere.
Yeah, otherwise, yeah, you might be.
Yeah, I know a couple people that stayed, not in Scottsdale, but was in some spots that they were saying during the day, you don't even go outside.
Yo, they got some real sun devils out there, man. Trust me. Man, we had a good week last week, man. We had like 4 callers, man. Like, and they kind of like gave us the world. Like,
it's like,
are we really doing this? Like, we just actually, you know, we just feel blessed that people are actually listening and being able to connect with it. And, and so they see this opportunity to bridge build when I think you don't really get a chance to see it as often.
Yeah.
You know, from what I understand and what I listen to and what I study. And I see in the normal operations of society, is typically everything is somehow meant to divide or separate in some way or some form.
Right.
You know, that's what I notice, and I think, and I'm hoping people appreciate that that's not the goal of this show, and that it's actually quite the opposite, man. You know, we feel like the more people that bring a piece to a bridge, like the further we all can go.
Right.
You know. And so it was blessing. Thanks for the phone calls. Please call in today if you got some advice or got a question or, you know, just want to update us on something, man. I mean, don't hesitate to call in. That's what we're here for.
And if y'all need that phone number, it's 503-231-8187. Again, 503-231-8187. So, yeah, that's the number to be able to call in on if you're feeling something we're saying. Or even got something to add to it or take away from it. Just give a call and let us know.
Right. If we don't know what we're talking about, let us know so we can learn.
Yeah, I had an interesting weekend. My daughter, she turned 13 this weekend. So put together a little party for her. It was a nice little celebration. She had her little friends come through. It's interesting. You know, I've never been a girl. going through this, like sitting back and really just tripping out as they group was together and realizing like they harass each other worse than boys do.
The girls?
Yeah. Like at least that group. And you know, it was four pretty strong personalities. And it was no beef or nothing, but just watching the way that they was kind of getting on each other just reminded me of being young. And me just thinking this is a boy thing.
Right.
This is how we interact harass. And I was like, yeah, we might not got nothing on that.
No, them girls get rough on each other too.
Right.
Man. We just don't always see it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so.
So yeah, that was a good little piece.
That was pretty dope, man. I seen you put up a live video, man, about, you know, just kind of going to her. Was it her dance or was it lunch? It was her lunch, right?
Yeah, she invited me to come. She wanted me to come have lunch with her for her birthday. She'd asked me a couple months back. And then we had a same pair of shoes, so she was like, we should match.
Right.
And then happened to be shopping for her one day, and she seen some jerseys, some Bulls jerseys, and was like,
Yeah, let's see. So, you know,
I'm
for it. I'm a sucker when it comes to my girls. But
hey, man.
But
I think that's wonderful, man.
Yeah, it was something dope. You know, seeing her face coming in, running in the office to grab me, it was just like she lit up. And just even sitting at the table, seeing how proud she was, you know, that I was there.
Right.
And, you know, a bunch of her little friends know me just from coming by the house. She be, you know, she's constantly got sleepovers happening, or she's going to sleepover. It's always something. I feel like their life is so cracking compared to what I was doing.
Yeah, it's off the hook though, man. They can reach their friends in literally 1 second, man. We gotta get on a bike, a Schwinn. We gotta drive. Wow. We gotta ride somewhere. He might not be home,
bro. Too many pieces to the puzzle back then.
Like, you know, if you call his phone, man, there's somebody on it that's busy.
Right, you got the busy right now. For the last 6 hours, you've been trying to figure it out.
That's funny. That's cool, though, man. Yeah, times definitely changed, man. They got more access at each other, quicker, faster, you know, and hopefully how you, depending on how you use it, better or for worse.
Right. I'm interested, bro. I sit back and I like, even that night, I just sat back, kind of watched how they were maneuvering with their phones, sending each other stuff, you know, taking their little selfies, getting their video clips and all that, and just seeing what the banter was about their social media stuff. Just
right.
It's just interesting because they know nothing else. So sometimes I'm like, you know, am I getting older to where it's the new thing? So I'm like, well, when I was your age, you know, and I don't want to be that, but at the same time, still wanting there to be some understanding of what was at one point, which was a different type of communication.
Right.
You know, but it's having to understand. I think I heard a comedian say something that was crazy funny. He was like, he hate old people to be like, oh, these kids today don't even know how to read a map. And he's like, yeah, because they invented a way for the map to read itself.
right.
It's like, you can't be mad at that, you know?
Right.
Times change, things change. So, you know, definitely trying to find that balance. But again, it was a good weekend running with these girls and getting a inside view into the dynamic. And I don't think a lot of people get to peer into that.
Right. No, I don't think they do at all, man.
Nah.
It's a whole nother ball game, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, that was you had a lot of fun with that, man. I seen you made the live video, man. It's like, I know when it comes to your girls, you real hearty on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and I think that you touched a lot of people with that, and it looked like you even shed a tear on that one.
Nah, I was, and it's funny because one of my partners.
Oh, it was
that
a window down.
I was looking, and I was seeing the little bag up under my eye. Y'all know I'm lying, but you know, just having that moment. And one of the things that I understand as far as being a parent, and you know, coming from it and being young, you know, my oldest kid 19, I'm 33. So I done had kids since I was a kid. This is what I know. And understanding that, you know, in times of not having nothing, being there, having a presence is more important than any of that. And again, the financial is great to be able to have that. Of course, you want to do what you need to do in order to be able to provide.
Right.
But if that's something that you can't get right, being there.
Right.
Showing up. And that's showing up. That's the biggest part. And it's you know, perplexing for me as a parent. When people got kids across town, especially other men, I know, like, none of my friends that are males that have children are halfway deadbeats. Like, everybody is fully involved as best they can be. You know, even with if they've got issues with their kid's mother, it's still their, what they're putting for, they're not falling back.
Right.
Like, I can't be okay with that. And, you know, that's where one of those frustrations that come when I know people that's kids is across town and they don't come see them.
Yeah,
you know, I got plenty of homegirls that deal with that type of stuff. And it's like, I live a state away from my kids, and it's happened. My kids can never say I did not show up.
Right.
My memory, every memory that they have that's a milestone, my face is attached to because I was there. Mm-hmm. Even if I couldn't necessarily afford it, I did what I had to do to make sure I was there. And that's what matters.
Right. I think that's that energy. That's when the energy kind of tells you, man.
Right.
It's like you don't really have a choice.
Right.
Like, it just kind of takes your choice away.
Exactly.
In certain situations that are probably good for you, that you have to be involved in one way or another. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty dope, man.
So, yeah, I just had to talk, you know, get a little PSA on it. And, you know, and I understand the struggles and, you know, having issues with the other parent in a situation. I understand all that to the maximum. But I do understand my relationship with the individual, you know what I mean, with my child.
Right.
That's what's more important than any of that. And everything that come with it, I'll take it. Right. You know what I mean? Right. So
straight up, man.
Yeah.
So I know you had you was doing a little bit of writing and research.
Yeah,
and
I had
thinking.
Did a little jotting down of some things. So what I'm
Was you talking about masculine, toxic masculine? What was that?
I know we touched on that, like brought it up just briefly as far as just the toxic masculinity. And I mean, I know that's a pop phrase right now. So I almost feel sometimes I feel a little weird using that term just because it's one of those hot terms right now. But I definitely think, you know, there is a lot of things that we're brought up to idolize, things that mean power to us, mm-hmm. things that mean success, like
right.
that's something we touched on heavy in
right.
the last show, these
right.
different things that mean achievement, mm-hmm. that in the bigger scope of things they're nothing,
right?
And until we start really laying down the foundation, you know, for ourselves,
right.
for our partners, and holding our partners accountable, what we touched on last episode,
mm-hmm.
holding our loved ones accountable for stepping up and, you know, thinking broader than just, oh, it's I didn't knock down this many women,
right?
You know, I got this car, and these are my achievements,
right?
You
right,
know, a couple
right.
gold chain, like this is my achievements, and this is everything
right.
that I'm standing on,
right?
As opposed to the things that's gonna really further.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
A little bit of life insurance, a little credit, you know, the little things that actually...
Right. A little freedom.
You know, going to set you up to be able to have some freedom. Those are the things, you know, that in my understanding of being masculine now, that's what matters.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
More than those others, so...
Absolutely, man. That's like basically like shifting... I just kind of... Okay. Yeah, I just call that kind of going against... you know, everything we've been taught, you know, and I always talk about strength and maintaining your individuality and taking advantage of yourself, you know, as opposed to letting society take advantage of you and kind of dictate what your definition of success is.
Right, right.
And so you make your own definition, you kind of go against the grain, and you got to have the strength and the power and the resilience to go against everything that's around you and everything that you were taught.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the beauty in that is... I think that is real strength. You know what I'm saying? I don't think real manhood, I mean, I just don't believe, I ain't gonna say it like that, you know what I mean? But I just don't think that, you know, as men, you know, as creators and leaders, we're not meant to follow everything.
Right.
You know, some things have to be held to the test to make sure that they're conducive to our path and where we plan on seeing ourselves in the future.
Right. 'Cause
things change, times
right.
change.
Right.
You know, and we can't keep old traditions and old ideas that, you know, realistically got us to only one level in the game. So you have to grow. You have to be able to go against things, you know.
Right.
And I think that's the beauty of changing what the definition of success is. And once we see success as being intelligent, you know, being compassionate,
right.
you know, being respectful, being loving, being supportive, having empathy.
And understand that all those things can be achieved and it doesn't take away from your bravado. It doesn't take away from your physical attributes as
right.
a man. It doesn't take away from you being able
no.
to still be a leader or any of that. And that's where I think the confusion kicks in when those key words are thrown out there.
Yeah.
It's identified with being less than.
Right, right, exactly. And then
yeah.
that's when you got to kind of, and that's when they tell you have to separate yourself now.
Yeah.
Because now the conversations ain't the same.
right.
You know what I mean? The streets ain't the same. And it's like, and you're going, you know, and we still impressionable because we're from there. And so either you
yeah.
stay there and you kind of lose a little bit of energy, or you just kind of separate yourself the best you can and try to continue to climb and grow and experience new things. And typically you're going to have to do a lot of those things alone,
right.
alone until you attract the energy of like-minded people who you may have never met in your life.
Righteous.
You know, and that's the beauty of growth and awareness and, you know, and, just kind of advancing in life, I think.
Right.
So we got a phone call. Is Vond on the line? Yeah, Vonda?
Yes, Mr. Jefferson.
Thank you for calling the show. How you feeling?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, we feeling real good right now. Real blessed. Glad you called in. What you got for us?
I'm calling to ask, what are the highest and the lowest points of each of your successful life?
The highest and lowest points. I think I can answer that. That's a tough question, Vonda, so I don't know where you got that one from. But I can tell you my lowest point. It's pretty easy, I guess. You know, I hate to really even admit it on air, but, you know, we transparent. We got to practice what we preach.
Righteous.
You know, I think my lowest point is, you know, is being alone, you know, being just kind of feeling like a alien. You know what I'm saying? Like being an alien in your own world, you know, and not being able to connect with a lot of people, not being able to understand a lot of people, not being understood, you know, constantly being judged and misrepresented and misinterpreted for what we really represent, you know, I think as light workers, you know, because typically where we from, a lot of, you know, it's not a whole lot of individuals that's going to take this route and stand strong, you know. And, you know, if you know about, you know, leaders in the past, I mean, they've all been extremely ridiculed on some level, you know, life put in jeopardy, or, you know, possibly even assassinated or even committed suicide just due to the pain of being misunderstood, you know what I mean? And so I think that's the lowest part of my life, because I'm aware of so many things that it's frustrating that I know all these things, you know. And I think at that point you can feel cursed to know too much or to understand too much, especially when you live in this kind of place. And so there's nothing left to do but to, you know, try to make some changes and adjustments the best you can, you know, while you're alive, you know, and just kind of, and you know, just kind of do what you were called to do regardless of your circumstances or what's going on around you, you know. And that's the beauty of independent, you know, and mental strength, you know, and loyalty to the energy, you know, loyalty to the universe. So that's kind of my lowest point. I think my highest point is, on the flip side, the connections I do make with people, you know, things that brought me and Ken Jones together, that energy, you know, the fact that it's actually people, a few people out there do understand that we can have these conversations, that we can relay, that no, they don't think I'm crazy or I'm thinking too much or I'm talking too much or just turn your mind off for a second, David. You know what I mean? Like, I don't always want to hear that. My mind, I can't turn it off. I've never had any control of how deep or how fast, you know, or how powerful I think. It's just a natural progression of who I am as a human being and individual. And so I have to be loyal to that and have to accept that. And I feel good when I'm connecting with people that understand that. And even the people that don't understand it, they want to understand and they do appreciate the information, even if they can't empathize or identify with immediately. They like where it's going. They like what it sounds like. And they, you know, they want to hear more and they want to talk more. You know what I'm saying? So when I realize I'm actually affecting people, and you know, when people tell me their lives have gotten a little bit better because of things that I've said or things that I've written or conversations we've had, when people tell me that you don't really know me, but you have helped me through a few situations that you know nothing about, and I want to thank you, those are the things that make my high point, you know, kind of glow. You know, those are the things that let me know that I'm right where I need to be and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And that it's not supposed to be easy, and I'm not supposed to be understood throughout my whole journey. You know what I'm saying? And so those are my points. You know, I know I went a little bit overboard with it, but, you know, I had to say that because I think that was a good question.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
So,
Ken?
I'm pulling over here. Mine is I'm going to pull into some specific events, and I'm going to go ahead and open up for the listeners here. I think my low was with my two oldest. We had a family structure, me, their mom, my girls. And due to me just being young and immature and thinking that the money and what it took to get the money was more important than the relationships in home, I broke up the household. And I think for me, that was my lowest point, was my kids not being able to grow with both parents in the house. So with that I think was my lowest, that shook up my whole world. You know what I mean? I'm used to coming home, opening this door, Karma being, you know, a year and a half at the time, stumbling down the hallway trying to get to me, right. You know, and having to go from that to living alone,
right?
You know, visiting, having the kids come over, right. And so that was probably my low. Now going for my up, I'd say my oldest on her 18th birthday, that was probably one of the
top highlights for me.
Absolutely.
And getting there, for not only did she graduate high school without getting in trouble, without having any major issues along the way, like she broke a cycle as far as the women in our families on both sides, managed to make it to 18 without being pregnant, without dropping out of school, without having any run-ins with the police. So therefore, she helped to create a legacy that got to move forward. So for me, that was my high.
Right.
You know? And I mean, of course, there's other pieces that go in there. But we got another callers.
Okay.
All right. Hello.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hey, listen, my name is Joseph. I'm a KBOO member. And I just want to give you guys a real shout out, kudos for having a program that's real. I mean, real to life. And I don't know, it just touches me every time I hear you guys. So,
oh man,
I just want to thank you for that.
Man, we appreciate it, man. Thank you for letting us know that. That's what we need to keep going.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, thank you so much. And because it's about men being real men and fathers being real fathers and all those kind of things. So,
yes.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate it, Joseph.
Thank you.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
All right.
Man, those was two good calls.
Yeah, Vonda hit us with the...
Yeah, Vonda, if you're still listening, sorry we lost you. I mean, we're not used to getting two calls at one time now. We're growing a little bit. We didn't know how to click over.
That back click
got the rotary dial. But no, no, we appreciate that, Vonda, if you're listening. That was an amazing question.
Yeah.
Sheesh, no one's ever asked me that before. So I had to kind of think for a second, right. Like, that's tough, but...
Yeah,
but you know,
I'm glad you went first. I was cycling through. I knew my and I was trying to juggle like how deep am I going?
Yeah. I know what bothered me the most, man. I mean, that's easy. You know, I don't tell everybody, but you know, I guess it's for being transparent. If that's the way it is right now,
I mean, that's what we talk about, being vulnerable, being open. That's what we said in the platform for people to understand that this is a part of it.
But I remember you saying something about you were talking about. An energy shift a minute ago.
Oh,
you were saying something about...
So, the idea of energy matching, and I know one of the popping little phrases right now is, had that same energy.
Right.
When you see
right.
had that same energy.
Right.
Which, you know, I'm it's times I gotta say, I'm in line with that phrase.
Oh, wait, I know what that is. That's when somebody said, hey, what you say?
Right.
They want you to say it exactly the way you just said it the first
time.
Same
energy. Or you was on the phone talking that way. You was
you ever see Lowdown Dirty Shame?
Yes.
He said, what'd you say? He said, I was simply saying that you let me handle things from here on out.
Ran it on back.
I was simply saying, no, I'm listening, bro. I like that.
Yeah.
Matching energy.
But matching energy. And the thing that with that matching energy... you want to match the energy that you actually want to have. You know what I mean? If you're constantly matching somebody's energy, that means when somebody's coming inside, when somebody's coming with this negative energy, just whatever they're going through in that day, that means you taking that on.
Right.
And what good is that going to do? You know, who knows what you were doing and what you were feeling before that. And if you matching everybody's energy, that can be all bad.
Right.
And one of the things, I got an example from this weekend. That was a dope moment. So I go, I had the little 13 balloon, the 1-3 little foil balloon. So I needed to get them blown up. Went up to Safeway. I get up to the counter. Excuse me, the little flower counter. Nobody there. It said to go to customer service. I walk over there. Nobody at customer service. So I'm like, okay, I'll go back and wait. Sitting over here for probably like 2 to 3 minutes. Look over. I see a lady coming in. She got the Safeway apron joint on. So I'm like, okay. Or at least the name tag. Right. But, she come and then she got some flowers, sit them down, and you know I'm trying to make eye contact. She don't acknowledge my being,
right.
So I'm like, okay, cool, okay. She go around, come to the cash register. How can I help you? Whoa, I was like, oh, okay, that's my exact response. Okay, well, I got these balloons I need done, and I had a couple little regular balloons. I'm like, you know, so what's the price going to be on this? She's like, well, those would be like, you know, $3 a piece, and those are a dollar. And she's like walking away, and like, they'll be done in 15 to 20 minutes. Oh, all right. So I had to go handle some more business, went to the Dollar Tree, a couple of other places I had to run to. And when I came back, I was like, you know, do I just come pay my money, don't say nothing?
Right.
or do I just give her a little something at least that she can take with her?
Mm-hmm.
I decided to give her a little something she could take with her. So,
great decision.
Come up, you know, get rain. She tells me what's, you know, one of the balloons had a hole in it and so on. And I was like, you know, I hope whatever it is you got going on, that it get better throughout this day.
Right.
And, you know, in that moment, she legit was like, you know, it's just one of those days I'm at work and I just feel like I could be doing more. Mm-hmm. I was like what? I follow right up, like what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing this and I'm 51 years old. I like doing this outside. I want to do weddings. I want to.
Right.
So how come you haven't taken that step? Then the conversation proceeded. We kept going back and forth, ended up exchanging some info as far as some places she could maybe check out Etsy, some of these different places that she could possibly get this stuff going. She asked about my experience with trying to start up a business. I let her know what I'm good at. And if it was something that she needed help with from what my knowledge was, you know, went back and forth. She explained about her husband and him being supportive of her and her just kind of being nervous to take that step.
Right.
And, you know, me telling her that's the biggest part. But taking that step and just you just go for it. Of course, not knowing the ins and outs, you
know, make an
informed decision for yourself. But at the end of that conversation, she thanked me.
Of course.
For having this talk with her.
Right.
And bringing her spirits back. And no lie, bro, like, I walk away, go do my other stuff that I was doing in the store, and her whole energy, it was a smile on her face as she's moving around doing the rest of her stuff.
Absolutely.
Came back to that store later, maybe 4 or 5 hours later, still that same look about her.
Right.
Not dragging feet, looking like I don't want to be here.
Right.
And that was just a great example of, instead of matching that, I helped to bring hers back to a frequency that was on par with how we should be operating.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that was a cool little moment where I took the moral high road. And
Okay, listeners, don't forget to call in if you got a question or you want to add on to something or you just want to give us some advice or you want to ask some, you know, 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. So, man, yeah, that match your energy, man. That's a dope concept, bro. It really is. And the reason is because, you know, we can pick and choose which energy we want to match and which ones we don't want to match based off the effect that we want to have on people in general in society, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm going to tell you what's going on. She in customer service.
Right.
You know, and the amount of people that she deal with that don't give a, mm-hmm. you know, heck. heck, I'm not no hill.
Heck,
you don't give a heck. You know, like they like she used to that. So this is what she expects every day. She expects people to not to care,
right?
You know, and she expected you not to care. You wasn't supposed to care.
Right.
You know, you one of those rare light workers, one of those rare, you know, like energy sufficient individual who understand that. You know, she may be going through something, whereas the average thinking person. Okay. Whereas the average person would have took that personal, right? Yeah. They would have took that personal. And that's how most people would have matched her energy.
Right.
You know, and I appreciate that because I think one of the most amazing things is having new conversations every day.
Man,
I try to get at least 5-10 every day, new people, new conversations. I bring them in with a joke. I look for a similarity. I break it open. Whatever it is, man, it happens every day. And people are quite surprised that they're actually nice and cordial and compassionate people out there, and they didn't expect that.
Right.
And so you had to wake her up for a second. Like, wait a minute, I can talk to him.
Right.
I was in this zone thinking everybody was gonna be jerks to me today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you woke her up, so she's like, I can open up. Somebody cares.
Right.
And that's the problem with society. Too many people don't care, so we expect everybody not to care.
Right.
And that's when people get bitter, you know, and that's when we get damaged. And so we just keep the energy bad, and then we get it back bad from the other people who don't care, don't think there's anybody else that care.
Right.
Next thing you know, you got two people acting mean to each other, whereas they both want to care deep down.
Right.
But they can't because they don't know who care and who don't. You know what I'm saying? So I think we got another phone call. Carl coming in.
Carl.
Hey, brother.
What's going on, man?
Is this the famous Carl or?
Yeah.
What's up, Carl, man? Our number one caller right now, number one listener. What's up, man?
Yeah. I'm just listening and just enjoying what you all's talking about. So
that was a good story, Ken. And I guess the thought that came to my mind was that in any of this stuff, everything that we do is you know, it's an opportunity. And
yes.
I guess, unfortunately, you know, most people look at, they're looking for something to get, right?
Right.
It's all about the getting, but they don't, I guess the thing that I think we all can learn is that it's all about the giving. It's what you gave to that woman, and you know, that's what makes the world a better place.
Right, right, so, right, right. See, you get it.
You got it, Carl, and man.
The other thought, you know, you mentioned masculinity, and to me, it's masculinity is a joke to me. It's a foolish concept, I think. Luckily, I grew up in a house full of women mostly, and I guess I learned that it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, that your sex doesn't have anything to do with how great a human being you can be. The right. You know, the value of a human being is, you know, is in the giving and the sharing and the caring for
right.
your kids or your wife or your neighbor or the person at the counter or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's what makes a great human being. You know, unfortunately, you know, all the people in the world that are trying to sell stuff on Facebook or on TV or whatever, you know, they're trying to get you to look at this shiny whatever thing, whether it's a person or a car or, you know, that
an object. Anyway,
it's just this huge distraction that is right. You know, kind of everybody's distracted from what really matters, and then
right, kind of like a false sense of success or something.
Yeah, so, or you know, just I guess I don't know, I think that for me, you know, just tuning into what really helps. You know, I think, like you say, if you break things down, you know, like masculinity or whatever, you know, if you break it down, what's there that really helps? The only thing that, you know, that really helps is, you know, I don't know. I guess ultimately, I think you break all this stuff down, and the only thing that really matters is how you care for the other person that you're looking at or whatever, regardless of who they are.
Right. Right.
You know, and it's, I don't know, it's just...
We get it, Carl. We get it.
Crazy world. And the other thought I had was, David made a comment about getting pushback from the community or whatever, and I think that, you know, that's natural that will happen, and I guess that, you know, it's just a matter of proving to those people that, you know, you're here to care for them, not to, you know, right. push them aside or something, you know, just to help them.
And that's what we're gonna do.
We're gonna keep
it
going.
Anyway, that's all I got.
We appreciate it, Carl, man. Appreciate thanks it. Again, man. We'll talk to thanks. You next week.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
All right,
Carl. Talk to you soon.
I think Carl might be our favorite listener.
Right.
This might be his favorite show, you know. We appreciate that, though, because we get a chance to, like, reach out to people we wouldn't normally get to talk to, man. You know, like, where else would we have these calculated conversations, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a perfect opportunity, man.
You know, an idea too, right quick, just thinking about, you know, I was talking about the energy matching, and then, you know, my story from this weekend where, you know, she was bringing up where her talents and ambitions lie. The idea that it's a question that I wrote out for myself and stuck up on a note, but it was like, what does the world need that your gift or talent provides?
Right.
Think about that and then find a way to apply it.
Yeah, I was listening to that today, man, on YouTube. That's why you said that.
Think about a way to apply it. And the crazy thing is when you take a second to really sit back and find out what your thing is, I think that's where the people who are living a life and they're living their best life. They found their thing, right, and they're right. running with that.
Right.
And it's not even work. That's why you get those, you know, like you think of, we think of athletes, entertainers, and mm-hmm. so on, where they're doing with their thing. But then you also have the dude that wanted to own a car wash.
Right.
The dude that wanted the corner store.
Right.
Those same people, it's the same type of feeling.
That's right.
It's the same type of feeling, because that's what they wanted to do. It's people out here digging up dinosaur bones. That's what they wanted to do.
Right.
And that's being able to find that, whatever it is that you have that you're naturally drawn towards, that's right. being able to use that. If you got a voice, right. if you're good with words, you're good with writing, you're good with interpreting, breaking ideas down, all those things,
right.
and find a way to be able to apply that to be able to help the next somebody.
Right. Yeah, that's the, I think that's the main purpose, man. Every time I, you know, every time I listen to one of my motivational speakers, or you know, even when I'm just writing myself or, yeah. or reading, I mean, it all points to the same thing, you know, like there's something that you're good at. There's something that you love. There's something that you're passionate at. There's something that you're better than most people at.
Yeah, it comes natural. It comes easy to you.
And the thing is, and we live in a society that, you know, that continues to follow traditions, you know, and mm-hmm. traditions that they don't necessarily even fit in.
Right.
You know, but because that's all they know, and, you know, creativity has been suppressed, you know, I feel like by, you know, by entertainment, by society, by the media, you know, by everything, you yeah. know, by our whole system, you right. know what I mean? Everything's suppressed, you know, they want you to do something, you know, they can't really force you to do it, but they're gonna pave out a very clear pathway mm-hmm. for you, make it hard for you to go any other way. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to go another way, you got to claw, you got to bring out a bulldozer, and mm. you got to do all kind of stuff, you know, to get to create your own route.
Right.
And that's slower. So when yeah. you're dealing with a bulldozer, you're making a new road, it's slow.
Or to even think creatively about how to get to the route that you need to go to.
Yeah, or may not make a route. It could have been created already. You know, it just might be a little bit smaller. It might not be a lot of people on that route.
So I've been telling you, I'm about to start reading nighttime stories. I'm about to make a YouTube channel reading bedtime stories, adult bedtime stories.
Right.
That's that's going to be my side hustle.
Right. No, it's what you love, right. remember? Not right. what he loves. He's on TV. You're at home right now. But, yeah, man, I mean, you know, it's, you know, we good at something, man. Man, you know, and it take a while, and you can't feel bad about not finding it. There's no amount of time. It's not on no clock. And I think people get frustrated with the clock.
Right.
You know, they're looking at the clock, and they're looking at themselves, and they're looking at the clock, and then they say, I'm going to do something faster.
Yeah.
And when you do something faster, you throw yourself out of your energy lane,
right.
you know, your specific lifeline, and you completely never get there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just move real fast, real quick, and then you stop real quick. Yeah. And then they take you back anyway.
Right.
You know what right. I'm saying? They take you back anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so we got to think in the long term, you know? And so, you know, and that's the only way we're going to be able to really kind of, I think, enjoy the benefits that the universe has for each of us specifically. I
right.
think they got something for everybody. Everybody's wildest dreams is literally tucked inside their heart. You know, all you have to do is open it up and figure out where it guides you. You know, it takes you to a certain place. You just have to go there. And you can't ask questions, man. Like, don't ask questions. Like, you know what you're supposed to do. Like, we know what's right. Like, and when we ask questions, we're trying to find a way to outsmart the energy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not doable. Everybody that's tried that has been brought back to the beginning, or they just never finished, you know? Mm. And you have to just go with the energy. And it may take a long time.
Yeah, that's
it. May throw you may get thrown off track sometimes by following people, but the energy is going to always lead you back. It doesn't matter if it's people, if it's a job, if it's a career, if it's a, you know, relationship, you know, a goal, a business, you know, like the energy, it will guide you. But the more you question it, the more you're talking yourself out of it. It kind of knows. You just feel it. You just feel when you're supposed to do something. Mm-hmm. Everybody has that feeling yeah. when they know they're supposed to do something. But they think about it, overthink, and they say, I'm going to do something else.
Yeah.
I'm going to try. So I got a feeling the energy may not know what it's talking about.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? I think that's how we get caught up in that trap, you know. And I notice my best times, my most pleasurable moments, my most memorable aspects of my journey, man, have been times where I just kind of did things I didn't know why I was doing them.
Mm.
I just knew that they were supposed to be done. Mm. And when I got there, like, I created something, I found something, I was shown something every single time, man.
Okay.
Every time. Every time.
So my question, I got a question then with that, because I follow this and I know this is how you actually live. So, you know, thinking of one of the things you talked about, time, like doing this in a, there's right. no set time. And I think my take on it is slightly a little bit different as far as there's no time. You can write out, map out your route. And there's people that need to have that down, kind of planning their route. But I think right. that's where we get caught up, because we say, okay, 6 months we're here, right. and in 2 years we're going to be here.
I mean, yeah.
And it's like, so that 2 years may be 8 years.
Right.
But you still following that formula,
right.
which essentially that's what that is, following that formula and sticking to whatever it is. You know, somebody else may have been able to accomplish it in that 2 year span.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't take away from what it is that you're doing.
Right.
You're just going to have a little more season, and by right. the time you jump into it, I think we got plenty of examples of people who are out here that didn't get their startup, their break until later in life. You know, right. you don't have to have the world figured out right. by 30,
right.
35, 40, right. 40. It's when it comes, it comes.
Right.
And if you prepare, then you're going to be able to take it. And that's the other piece, is being prepared for the opportunity.
Right.
That's what, you know, they talk about luck, and it's like there's no luck
right.
as much as there is preparation.
Right.
And you're just ready to be able to recognize an opportunity and being able to seize it and maximize every avenue that right. comes with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. it'll take you crazy places, man, and you know, you just got to go along for the ride, you know, and don't double guess your energy and your true passion, and you know, it looked like you're going to fall off a lot of times, but a lot of times just keeping you strong, man, down the journey. So
righteous.
We got a phone call. Christian is on the line. Christian?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. I just was caught your guys' program. I just wanted to tell you guys how much I was really enjoying it. I actually just got done, like, a few months ago. I graduated from PSU with a philosophy degree,
oh.
a bachelor's in philosophy.
Nice.
And just what you guys were just talking about, man, it was just hitting me so hard. And I just wanted to tell you guys, like, keep it up, you know?
Man, I appreciate that. Philosophy. That was my most interesting course. I took a philosophy course. I go to PSU right now too, and my philosophy course, it really stretched right. my way of thinking.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, I took philosophy once, man. I went to U of O in Eugene, but I studied politics.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's all in the same realm though. But thanks a lot, Christian, mm-hmm. man. These phone calls is kind of just help us make sure that, you know, we in line with what we're supposed to be doing and where we're going. We want to connect with as many people as possible and try to get things to resonate so we can all become more aware, you know?
Right on. Well, thank you guys again.
All right. Thanks,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Phone calls coming up. So we got like 13 more minutes, man. If y'all want to call in, 503-231-8187. Where we at?
Jump into this one right quick. This kind of heavy.
We got time for this?
Yeah, I mean, this kind of
like 20 pounds or like 10?
We'll make it into 10. So growing up, I remember Scarface had a line in the song, "Never seen a man cry till I seen a man die." And that was one of those things, even as a kid, that kind of stuck. And I think about the first time I had ever seen a adult male cry, which was my father. Not even cry, just seen the after. And remember him getting me ready for school and me being like, "You got something in your eye? Like, why are your eyes?" You're like, "I'm a kid. I'm, you know, I have my dad doesn't cry." Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to figure out what's happening. And he's like, "You know, it's nothing." And, you know, I'm prying. I'm curious. So I keep asking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then he mentioned that my uncle had passed away last night and shook me up. And it was like, whoa. And then, you know, becoming and going through my life and having this idea that boys don't cry.
Right.
Men don't cry. And thinking today, having a moment of going through life and realizing the last times I cried at 17, I can pinpoint at 17 years old, at 23, and then at 32.
Right.
Those I can pinpoint the times of actually having full on and understanding that the triggers weren't even the bulk of it. It was all those other years and everything else that came out in that moment.
Right.
And
like understood, like in, even thinking during, like, why am I crying? Like, where is this coming from?
Right.
And being younger and not understanding that,
right?
You know, at that 23 and that 17, I remember being mad at myself afterwards. Like, what am I doing? Like, what?
Right.
Like
right.
legit shaking
right.
my head. Like, shake that off. Like,
right.
nah, that's not how this works.
Right.
And then getting a bit older and understanding that, you know, and I'm still not making it out. Like, I can just tear on command or,
right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Still don't handle. I'm still trying to understand more about that. But
right.
understanding that the lack of emotion that we're able to show, I feel like it also creates a lack of emotional intelligence. Mm. We're not able to pick up on certain things
because
we're
right.
not able
that's
to.
Right.
We don't express it. We don't
right.
deal in this arena.
Right.
So we don't understand. And another piece in there is, you know, a story I think about often. I remember I went on a vacation for a few years with my oldest daughter right after she was born.
Right.
And didn't get to see her again until she was about five. And I remember one day we're getting out the van, and it was a grandma's van. I'm getting out, and I went to slide the door back, and it hit her.
Uh-huh.
And I remember turning around, like hearing the thud, turned around, and she's, you know, that cry where there's no sound. It's just.
Oh, right.
And then she went, and I didn't even know what to do in that moment. Like, I grabbed her a little bit,
right.
but it was still kind of like.
You need
like
get,
what?
You need
what do
get,
I do now?
You needed to get soft, didn't you?
Right, and in that moment, it was like, you're all right. Like
right.
it wasn't right. that bad. You gonna be all right. Instead
right.
of
right.
consoling her in that moment,
right?
And I think that plays on where, especially as young boys, not being consoled in a certain way. Some
right.
of us, you know,
right.
some moms, you know, definitely on top of it.
Right, right.
But there's a, you know, a good portion of us who don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
It's suck it up. Handle that. So when it's time to be compassionate, it's time to be able to show that you don't even know how to do. How many times
Absolutely.
I've been around somebody and they're crying and I'm awkward.
Right.
Like, okay, well.
Like you tap their shoulder, hey, like,
I'm good for cracking a joke, bro. That's what I default to.
Right.
I
right.
default to cracking a joke or trying right. to say something funny, and it's like, this is a serious moment.
Right. Them jokes will keep you out of a vulnerable moment.
Right.
You know,
right.
you don't have to say something sweet. You can say something
right.
funny.
Right. Right. So, I mean, what for you, what's the last time that you felt like you actually purged? Not like the my puppy paw on the shoulder in the movie where a tear comes.
Well, it's a little different for me, man, because, like, you know, I lost my mom, you know what
right.
I'm saying? So I'm sure your mom's still alive, right?
Right?
Yeah.
right.
So, I mean, you know, without, you know, if I was to take that out the equation, you know what I mean? I don't know, man. You
yeah.
know, like, it's rare, you know? I just think that. You know, I just think that we hold it in a lot, man, and then we purge. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I have done that before.
Yeah.
And even, you know, and they say females do that a lot, and they don't really
yeah.
know why they upset a lot of the times due to a lot of hormonal
right.
issues, emotional issues or whatever, you
right.
know. But I feel like we go through that too, but people just don't know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, and I think for us, I know the times that I have, I can't really pinpoint when, but I know it's times that I just get overwhelmed with the mm-hmm. world and being a man
right.
in this world and trying to fight for everything, fight for a relationship, fight to be respected, fight to try to love, fight to be loved, fight to go to work,
mm-hmm.
fight just to drive. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these things you got to fight to do and still being misunderstood and you're trying to do right all around the board.
Right.
You
right.
know, that's enough to break, I think, to break a man down and have him, you know. They say men, boys don't cry, man, you know, but I've also heard that men cry in the dark,
man.
You know what I'm saying? And they don't want their family to see it. They
right.
don't want their wife to see it. They don't want to tell nobody. They just, because again, we taught that that's less than manly. It's you know, it's not masculine, you know, and I think that's what holds us back. And so
yeah.
when we do really get overwhelmed, we just explode. And everybody like,
right.
wait a minute, man, you ain't cried in 6 years. Now all of a sudden you're mad, you know?
Things.
You know, and so that's why we got to have an outlet, man. And you got to be okay with that as a man, especially if you're going to continue to love people and try to help people. You got to be able to accept love and accept the same love and the help that you give people that are emotional.
Right.
Let people afford you that when you're emotional.
Right.
And understand that you're a human. You're not just a man, but you're a human being
yeah.
with feelings and
all of the feelings.
Emotions. Like,
I think, you know, something I think about is with my son. And again, I'm a young parent, so I've pretty much grown up with my kids, so they've got to experience the growth and the evolution. But thinking of, you know, there being a point with my son, who's 11 now, but being when he was, you know, 2, 3, of being that, like, bro, like, chill out, you're all right, like, chill out.
Right.
And I think I'm still in the middle of the road. But one thing that I do tell him now, is there's nothing wrong with crying. Right. There's nothing wrong with your emotion, but as the man that you're going to grow into and being the leader of a family one day, that you have to be able to, even with your emotions in the moment, you have to be able to be centered and be able to make sure everybody's good.
Right.
And then you can have your moment to wind down and let all of that out. And that's the thing I kind of pushed to him, because, you know, and I explained to him, it was my daughter's in the room too. I was like, right now, if something fell through this ceiling, the first thing you guys are going to do is look at me.
Right.
And if I'm over here freaking out, that's going to send you guys going crazy.
Right.
So therefore, I don't have a moment to sit and process that right then. I've got to get you guys right. Then I can sit. And that's why, you know, people do things, and then once their adrenaline calms down and they get to shaking, and, you know, that's where you have your moments. You sit down and you purge it out. Don't try to hold it in. And that's something, you know, I try to preach, even though I haven't got to that point yet of being able to necessarily just go sit in a room and be like, let me get this up out of me if that's what need be. But again, I'm aware at this point.
Right.
And I don't feel so strongly that, oh, I can't have an emotion.
Right.
You know, I've had that narrative put on me, especially with the women in my life, of you just seem indifferent to so much stuff.
Right.
And it's like, okay, because I'm chill. I'm not too amped up. You know, and the things that do, when it does get amped, it's anger that's came out, you know, in my younger years of being quick to, oh, we're fighting, and everybody here, I'm fighting everybody in this room. That's, you know, that type of energy, as opposed to understand what the real issue was.
Mm. Carl? All right. Send him in. Let's see what Carl talking about.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Carl.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so...
And Carl, it's right quick, too. We got about 3 minutes left going, so...
Yeah, I just, you know, I had this thought. I haven't thought about this before listening to you guys. Just this, you know, this whole, you know, being a man. And, you know, I grew up and, you know, my dad was a man's man. And, you know, and it's all about being competitive and winning and all that crap. And it's, you know, that's all fine and dandy, but it kind of puts you in opposition to a lot of the world. And I guess the one thing I often think about is, you know, as a minority, whether you're African or Mexican or whatever, you know, and the way that, you know, that if you're in that position, which I'm not, but I'm sure if you're in that position, you feel like you have to fight harder than anyone, you know, just to be normal.
Right.
And it's, you know, and I guess the thing that I would say to anybody that's in that position is that, you know what? That's a load of crap. You are just as good as anyone in the world. You know, you got the same stuff in you as the greatest human being. And that's all I got.
Thank you, Carl. Much.
Yeah.
All right. Carl with two calls on us, man. Yeah. Showing a lot of love, man. And
that point.
He's showing a lot of energy and a lot of connection, man. And got.
All right.
Well, we're told to tell you guys we love you.
Make sure to check us out on the socials. We on the book. We got the Facebook fan page, Calculated Conversation.
Oh, yeah, on Facebook.
Yes, we got the YouTube under Calculated Conversation. The videos are going up this week. You'll be able to check those. Twitter, at Calculated Talk, singular, not plural. CalculatedConversation@gmail.com if you want to give us a little email and something about something to discuss.
That's right. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m., KBOO Community Radio, 90.7, Calculated Conversation Show. See you next Tuesday. Don't be late.
Just win deep.
Good evening. The time is 7:58 and 56 seconds. You are listening to KBOO Portland. And up next is The Melting Pot.
For the month of April, KBOO Community Radio is proud to be the recipient of the Community Tap Program at Hopworks Urban Brewery. Hopworks is donating 1% of all pint sale proceeds at all three pub locations to KBOO. They have locations at Southeast 29th and Powell, at North Williams and Shaver in Portland, and on Southeast Mill Plain Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Thank you, Hopworks, for supporting your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film The Real Dirt on Farmer John on Thursday, April 12th at 7 p.m. The Real Dirt on Farmer John is a documentary about a maverick Midwestern farmer amidst a failing economy and heralds a resurrection of farming in America. Filmmaker Taggart Siegel will be in attendance, and there will be a Q&A after the film. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi there, ho there. It's Sean the bus driver. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm subbing for Mr. Takima tonight on the Melting Pot Radio Show. And we're going to kick some things off here with some good funky music. This is a band called Yak Attack. And we're going to check that out here in a minute. And I'll be back in a little bit to tell you other things about this awesome radio show. So stay tuned.